The Richie Allen Show, live on Talk Radio Europe, Fab Radio International, and DavidIke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
I'm thrilled, as always, that my next guest has gotten out of bed really early to come and chat with you. And oh, he is a brilliant artist. He's a brilliant writer, a wonderful human rights activist, and an advocate for human rights the world over. He really is. He spent many years travelling around the world, researching many of the things that we talk about on this programme. And he's spoken to hundreds, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, getting their take on world events. And it's really a wonderful thing. He is heading up at the moment something we've talked about a few times on this programme, the Full Circle Project. Now, as we're talking and as you're listening, if you are online, do get on to thefullcircleproject.net and find out more about it. It's a real pleasure to welcome back to the programme the one and only Max Egan. Max, welcome back. Thanks for getting up at the crack of dawn there. How are you?
I'm good, brother. Thanks for asking me on again, Richie. Always a pleasure to come and have a chat.
Well, thanks, mate. And you're one of the great, one of the things about you, Max. I mean, I spend a lot of time reading The Crow House. I spend a lot of time looking at what you're doing. I grab your shows on YouTube. You never say no to anybody. You're an amazing guy. You know, anybody says, oh, come on the show, Max, or do this or do that. You always do it. And I think it's a wonderful thing. And it probably gets taken for granted, and it shouldn't be, because it's tiring. Doing these things, they are tiring and they can be a bit taxing. So thanks for doing it. Just before we came on, I did mention that when I said earlier in the week that you were coming on, more than one, and quite a few listeners said to me, next time Max is on, ask him about the journey that he's been on over the years, looking into these subjects, researching these matters, looking at solutions, looking at a way that we can get out of the lunacy that we're in, the tyranny that we're in. Ask Max, where does he think we are on the journey of ridding ourselves of the madness and making a better world for ourselves? I think that's a brilliant question, Max. Where are we, do you think?
I think we're pretty close, Richie. I really do. I think we're walking on a knife edge at the moment. We're very close to them locking the system down, but the awakening has been incredible. And even in the last, like every month, it's just getting more and more. The exponential curve is just incredible. So yeah, I think we're getting very close. I mean, people are waking up in droves. Just look what's just happened in Syria. I mean, you know, you got Russia going there and destroy ISIS in 2 weeks when the United States couldn't do it in 2 years, you know. So people are seeing that there's a reason for this and that they've been lied to and that things are not what they seem. And I think that the awakening has been massive. And I think that we're pretty close to changing things if people can motivate themselves into action. And, of course, that's what we're trying to do with Full Circle Project.
Is it difficult? It's probably too difficult to gauge it in terms of years, or is it not? I mean, I talked to Caroline, the future Mrs. Allen, the long-time future Mrs. Allen, and I've got this feeling in my bones, Max, and I don't have a sixth sense. I don't have any talent like that at all. But I got this feeling in my gut that I'm 40 now, in 20 years' time, I'll be 60. I don't think we'll be living this madness in 20 years' time. I really don't. Are you reluctant to put a time frame on it?
Well, yeah, I'm reluctant to put a time frame on it because they changed the playing field so much. But, I mean, I'd like to think that it'd be even sooner than that, that we won't be living in this madness. But, of course, you know, even if we were to fix it today and we were to rein this system under control today, it's going to take 15 or 20 years to heal the madness that we see around the world that's been created by this system anyway. So it's going to take a little bit of time to heal it. But, yeah, look, I really think the world is going to wake up. I don't think we're going to allow the human race to be locked down the way they're intending to do. I think even the sleeping masses, they're seeing that something is terribly wrong, you know, and it's not going to take a lot of people to change it. I mean, the American Revolution was won by like 3% of the population or something.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take a lot of people really to bring about change. It's just people have to gain a focal point, you know, and if everyone can adopt the same focal point and address the root core of the problem, then we can bring about change very quickly. I mean, it could happen overnight. It really could. We could change the world overnight. And I even think the military are going to intervene. I think there's people in the United States and probably even in England now that are just saying, well, hey, this isn't good, this isn't right, and we can't go along with it anymore. I wouldn't be surprised at all if people break ranks within the military and within the political arena in all of our countries and just start calling this out, because if they don't, they're going to get hung out to dry with everybody else. Because let's face it, these guys are heading, if we don't, you know, if we can't turn this around in a peaceful way, they're going to push it so far that, you know, the people will rise up and they'll end up springing from lampposts. And a lot of the politicians don't want that. So they're going to have to come on board and they're going to have to start calling things out, you know.
Do you know what? I got to say this, Max. First of all, tweet at Richie Allen Show. If you have a question for Max, send it to me now on Twitter at Richie Allen Show and I will put it directly to Max on your behalf. One of the most optimistic things anybody's ever said to me on radio, and I've been doing radio a long time, was you last year when we first spoke on this program. And I got kind of emotional when you said it. And I had to kind of, I was glad that you kept talking because I kind of, a bit of a tear was coming out of my eye and I really mean this. You said something that I think I always believed, but I never thought out loud. You said, and I'm paraphrasing you, but you pretty much said that underneath the person who walks past the homeless man or woman on the street, underneath the person who is glued to Facebook and glued to their phone and they won't talk to anybody on the bus or on the train and is locked into their own world, underneath all of that exterior is a pure heart. I remember you saying that to me, and you said it won't take much to reach that. And ultimately, that, you know, that person, those people we talk about, the people we say are not awake, the people going from, movie to movie, to television show to television show, to consuming, buying clothes, buying big car, all of that sort of stuff. You said underneath all of that is something great, is something special, and nothing will ever change that. Does that go for elected officials as well?
Well, look, I think a lot of them aren't psychopaths. A lot of them are probably decent people. A lot of people probably become politicians because they want to make a difference, you know. But, you know, the ones at the top, I don't think there's much hope for. But the problem, you know, the problem we've got with the system, Richie, is that it's also compartmentalized, you know. I do it as well. I make blanket statements. I just say, look, all politicians are criminals because I'm just sick of it. I'm frustrated. So, but I mean, there's probably good ones in there. The problem is that they're working to make their compartment more efficient. They've been given a false version of what success is. And that's just the way it is. I mean, we've constructed our own system ourselves, our own prison. We've constructed this prison ourselves by making the system more efficient. And I think that inside, people are basically good. I think that everybody wants good. I think everybody wants to give. Everybody wants to be liked. They want to be loved. They want to love somebody. You know, there's a goodness. There's a spark of goodness in everybody. But we're caught within this financial system and this economic system and this social system, which teaches us to be sociopaths. And that's the way you survive. That's the way you get success, is by being sociopathic, by making your little compartment more efficient, you know. And it's ridiculous, but I think there are good people in there. And I think that if we, as a race or as a country, if we start actually being honest with ourselves and calling things out for what they are, I think that you're going to see a lot of these politicians breaking ranks and simply seeing the truth for what it is as well, and realizing that there's something terribly wrong with the pool they're swimming in, and you're going to see them change size. You're going to see them break ranks. And I think there are people in there that did enter to become, you know, to do something good. Of course, such people never really make it to the top. You know, we get people like David Cameron make it to the top, you know, because he's a full-blown sociopath and he'll do what the party line says and do what the bankers want him to do. So, you know, a lot of the good ones, they never really get there. But they do, you know, there are people in there that try to have a voice for the people and do try to do the right thing. So,
do you think Jeremy Corbyn is one of those? Do you think the new leader of the Labour Party is a guy who is treading very dangerous waters at the moment, of course? But do you think that here's a guy, because of what he said over the last 30, 35 years, 40 years even as a politician, do you think he's, you know, a perfect example of somebody decent, struggling to make some sort of, trying to make a noise, trying to say things that haven't been said within the system? Is he a good example, Jeremy Corbyn, what you've seen of him so far?
Well, look, you know, I'm not that familiar with Jeremy Corbyn, but I mean, I like what he's saying. I mean, he's a politician. Of course, he's a politician. He's going to have an agenda, but at least he's bringing some dialogue onto the table. At least he's actually asking some questions and saying some things that need to be said. And it's refreshing to hear that. It really is. I mean, everything he's saying about the war on terror and everything. I mean, it's been good to at least have that being debated now on the table, and at least have it being on the record as being said by a politician in public. I mean, that's a good thing.
They wouldn't be trying to tear him down, Max, would they, as much as they have been, unless they were worried. My personal take on it, not that it's important, my opinion isn't important, yours is, you're on with me, and the listener's opinion is important, but my little take on all of this is that nobody has been saying, for many years, nobody has said what Corbyn is saying, is that we shouldn't crucify the poor in society, we should be protecting the poor and helping them get up off their knees, we should be making sure they have heat and light and they should have shelter, we should stop bombing people overseas. It's outrageous. I think they're scared, Max, is that if this guy is allowed to continue, that because they can't ignore him, because he's got such a powerful position, the leader of the Labour Party, holy shit, when you think about it, it's massive. They're scared to death that this guy, what he's saying is going to start resonating with people, because they can't keep him away from the TV and they can't keep him away from the newspaper because it would look very suspicious. So they're trying to tear him down. It's the idea they're scared of. It's his ideas, I think. What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's the ideas, and it's the fact that he's calling them out for what they are. I mean, people are starting to wake up to the fact that this whole war on terror is fake. I mean, the whole thing's fake. It's a proxy war for Israel, the whole thing. Always has been. You know, there is no massive terrorist threat. It's all been created by the West. And people are realizing this now. We've just gone in and we've killed millions of people around the world because of an event that was staged by our own governments anyway, you know, through 9/11. So, you know, people are starting to ask the hard questions. And I think they're very scared that someone like Jeremy Corbyn is giving them the confidence to want to ask them. Because, I mean, if he's going to be up there asking the hard questions, well, then why shouldn't the man on the street ask them? So maybe it's removing a bit of the fear from people. And I think the whole wheels are falling off this entire war on terror. The situation they've created in the Middle East has just been, it's exposed them for what they are. And they know it. They know their days are numbered. They know the world is waking up and we're simply not going to take it anymore. And it's great to have someone like Jeremy Corbyn saying these things, because it will awaken the masses and it will give them the confidence to speak out, you know.
It's brilliant. Jason Holmes on Twitter. How are you doing, Jason? There are enough people aware, but I think others will put it straight forward. Sorry, he says, let me get this right. There are enough people aware, but those people who are aware, they think others will put it straight for them. The change will happen when people act, says Jason. And on that, gives me a quick chance to give a mention to an event that's taking place in London on Saturday at 12 noon. That says this Saturday at 12 noon, Saturday the 17th of October, there is a protest for Palestine outside the Israeli embassy, which is on the High Street in Kensington. To get there, you need to use... the tube station, the nearest tube station to the Israeli embassy is the High Street, Kensington. Protest for Palestine, Saturday at 12 p.m. And I think Max Egan would probably say, he wouldn't mind me saying this, get up off your arse. If you happen to be around London and you happen to be around on the 17th, which is next Saturday, get up off your lazy arse and go and stand with those people and make that demonstration outside the Israeli embassy one that they won't forget in a hurry. That's how you do it. Simple as that. Sean was on to say, Sean McDonald, glad you're back. Gremlins in the system with the website. Yes, there is, mate. We're working on it. Mike was on to say, the conspiracy in the media, though, does make it hard. US people are ignorant and distracted by the same bloody media. How can they break free? But the media is not so much of a problem, Max. So it isn't. It's not as much of a problem as people think it is.
Well, you know, it isn't really. I mean, it is as much as it's a lot of people's main source of information, and they believe them. And, you know, if we could get information, I mean, look at 9/11. There's enough evidence to mount a court case against certain elements within the Israeli government and the US, the United States government, take them to court and secure a conviction in 9/11 if the media would simply, you know, report it and start bringing the truth to people. So it is a massive influence, and it is a huge problem. I think the media are as complicit in war crimes, if not more so, than the government, because they're the ones who've sold the lie to the people. And it is a huge issue for us. But, you know, the problem with people is that they, as your guest said, they think someone else is going to change things. They need to get motivated themselves. They need to act themselves. And, yeah, go to the protests for Gaza, but take it further. Tell the government that you're not going to pay taxes to them anymore. Go to your employer. There must be some form you can get somewhere that makes you tax exempt for whatever reason it is that your employer doesn't collect your taxes for you. Go and fill out one of them and then tell your employer that you're going to sort out your taxes yourself, and then contact your government and say, hey, listen, it says in the Fourth Geneva Convention, Article 33, that collective punishment is a war crime. This government is supporting Israel. Israel is carrying out this war crime, so I'm not going to pay you any taxes until you can show me that you're not committing war crimes, because I can show you that you are. So I'm not going to give you any taxes. I'm not going to vote for any of you people. I'm not going to give this government one single inch of support or one penny of mine until you can show me that you are not committing war crimes, because I can show you that you are. That's what everybody needs to do. I mean, Palestine is a massive key for us all, because every single politician in the Western world that is supporting or funding Israel is supporting and funding a breach of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, and therefore should be arrested, taken to The Hague and hung. Every one of them. So Gaza Strip and Palestine provides the world with an opportunity for change if we would simply call this out. And I'll put it out there for every single person listening to this show. Withdraw every single piece of support or tax money from your government immediately until they can show cause why they are supporting the war crime that is the very existence of Gaza Strip.
Spot on.
Forget that they're dropping phosphorus on them. Forget they're bombing schools. Forget they're bombing ambulances, kidnapping children, and all the stuff they're doing. Just the very existence of the place is an open war crime, and it's an opportunity for every single person in the Western world to stand up and call it out.
Spot on, Max.
Richie, I really wish we would.
I know, man. I know it makes you angry. It makes me angry as well. V was on to say, hi to Max. Great to have him on. Full Circle Project is looking great. We've joined, says V. We want to get more involved. Is there any advice? It's actually Sue. Sue's Twitter handle is V Accessories. Sorry, Sue. Any advice to get more involved? I think you just gave it, Max, didn't you?
Well, yeah, that's what you've got to do. I mean, with the Full Circle Project, you can use the Community Connector to find people in your area and just form a local group and form a discussion group and then start planning action in your local area on how to move this forward. There'd be an issue in your local area that affects the local people on the ground, something that they want to deal with. You can look at that issue from its root cause, which is going to be abuse of office of a politician that created the problem. I mean, every problem we've got is created by politicians. They abuse the position that they hold. They bring in legislation which puts people in hardship, which puts them in breach of their own law. I mean, the whole system's so convoluted. So what it's about is forming a local action group, finding people in your area who are awake and who want to get involved and who want to make a difference. And then you can look at the site and you can find what action other people are doing. You can copy it. You can share the actions you're doing. You can spread it out around the globe. If you've got an organization like a permaculture group or whatever, a legal group or whatever, you can bring it under the umbrella of the Full Circle Project. You can link it up with everybody around the world and you can let them know what you're doing so they can adopt the same template in their area. You know, we can put all of our ideas together and we can link everybody up and we can create grass fires around the planet. And we can push this forward because it's got to start on the ground with the individual getting involved.
It's brilliant, Max. And we're using their tools against them, you know, using the internet, using Twitter, using Facebook against them. Bertha was back on to say that she's glad that Max has said that good people exist within the system. I feel we must know them, support and follow them and enable them. Says Bertha. Absolutely right. Until they prove otherwise, I totally agree with that. Andre was on to say, I can only speak for me. I'm a keyboard activist because the way I got treated by the system unleashed a social anxiety in me, says Andre. I don't think you're the only one there, Andre, as well. Remember, you can tweet at Richie Allen Show, tweet at Richie Allen Show with any questions or any points you want to make for Max. Plenty of questions and I should say plenty of comments coming in right now. If you want to see what other people are saying, go to the search Twitter, just put in Richie Allen Show, all one word, click enter and you'll see what everybody else is saying in case you're wondering as well. I want to say hi to Sean McDonald. Sean says, Richie, ask Max if he feels ISIS, the Israeli Secret Intelligence Services, says Sean, if ISIS are behind the Arab Spring this summer and the coming autumn, asks Sean. What do you think, Sean? I should say. Sorry, Max.
The Arab Spring was funded by the West. It was US and Israeli insurrection, you know, under the cover of the Arab Spring. It was all about creating sectarian violence and sectarian factions through the whole area. ISIS is fully Western-funded, Western-run. It's run by Israel and the United States. These guys, I mean, these guys are using all U.S. weapons. They've got U.S. Humvees. They've got U.S. AR-15s and M16s. They got 30 Abram tanks, for God's sake. I mean, how does a terrorist organization get 30 tanks from the United States, you know? I mean, these guys are heavily funded. This is a proxy war of Israel. The whole thing is a proxy war of Israel. Look at Oded Yinnan's strategy for Israel in the 1980s, and you look at every country that's been destabilized in the Middle East, and that's where it's coming from. Hey, look, there's a pipeline that runs from Israel right through Syria, right up through into Iraq. How come ISIS hasn't attacked this pipeline?
That's right,
they're all
through
the area. They haven't even destroyed Israel's pipeline because they're all Israelis. They're all mercenaries. If you want to know who's running ISIS, go and look up Eric Prince, the guy who runs Blackwater or Z or whatever it's called this week, you know. This whole thing is Western run. They've got Western hardware. You know, like I said before, Russia's gone in there in 2 weeks and decimated the whole place that the United States couldn't do in 2 years because they're funding them. They're funding the whole lot. It's all run by Israel, the whole thing. You know, and the world's starting to see this. The world is really starting to see this. And again, Palestine is the key to stop it. You know, if you're not going to stop ISIS by bombing Damascus, you're going to stop ISIS by withdrawing funding from it. And that funding is coming from Wall Street. It's coming from Washington. It's coming from Tel Aviv. It's coming from Brussels. It's coming from London. You know, this is all Western run. The whole thing is Western run. And it's painfully obvious that it's Western run.
I'm thinking as you're talking of the French foreign minister. He was a French foreign minister under Mitterrand, Roland Dumas. That's the guy. I was trying to think at the top of my head. Tell you what, Max, a 2 week break does you the world of good. I remember stuff now. Before I took a break, I was really rock bottom. I was having a nightmare putting this program together. But Roland Dumas, he told French television a few years back that he was in London in 2009. And MI5 spooks were coming up to him saying that they were doing things on the ground in Syria. And of course, as you quite rightly said to me on previous shows, the history books written by lawyers and by scoundrels will tell us that the Arab Spring began in 2011 because people who wanted democracy stood up to that bad, awful Bashar al-Assad. But the former French foreign minister and others were saying, well, no, we were sending weapons, ammunition, intelligence. We were buying time on television in some of the neighbouring states of Syria to demonise Assad. All of this was going on in 2007, 2008, 2009. And he said this on national French television a few years ago. We know it's absolute bullshit. We know that. I'm going to get to a couple more tweets then, because we're going to run out of time really quickly. We always do when Max is on. 28 minutes to the top of the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com. Our guest is the wonderful Max Egan. Check out fullcircleproject.net. I will tweet out Max's own website, The Crow House. I'll tweet that out for you as well, so you can get on there as well. This is one of the great guys, this. I don't mind saying that. Max probably won't like it, but he's one of the great, great guys. Fried Rice, David, on Twitter says, I disagree with you and Max about the awakening. Hundreds of thousands of people are owned through student loans. I think what David is getting at on Twitter is that however awake they might be and however motivated they might be, they're going to be weighed down by the next 20, 30 years trying to pay back their ridiculous student loan. Thanks for the comment, David. Max, what do you think? Do you want to respond to that?
Oh, yeah, student loans are ridiculous. This is why I never went to university. I didn't even finish high school. I mean, I'm trying to tell my son now, he's going through all this whole university thing, and I'm going, what for? What for? What do you want to go to university for? So you can learn their way of doing things and end up with a $20,000 debt for the rest of your life. Go and enjoy the world. Enjoy your life. Find out what you love to do and do as much of it as you possibly can. That's what you should do. Don't worry about trying to be this successful thing that the system tells you you should be, because it's a joke. And education should be free anyway. And all these student fees, these are just a ball about, you know, locking you down into debt. So like your friend said, you can't be free for the rest of your life. You've got to pay this whole loan off. I mean, very often you'll find people can't even travel until they've paid off their student loan, you know. So it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I'd suggest that people don't even do it. Just don't do it. Vote these politicians out. Put someone else in there who's going to put in an honest education system. You know, the whole system that we've got, it's ridiculous. You've got to start calling it out. People have got to start calling it out. I mean, I don't pay taxes. I don't vote. I don't do any of that stuff because I will not support this government because it's a government of criminals. And it's people's own decision whether they want to do that. You know, if you really want to pay your taxes and you really want to support this government, we'll do it. And don't think that, oh, I have to because authority is real. No, authority is a fiction. We made it up. Question it. Question authority. Question anyone who presumes to exercise a right of ownership over anybody else. And if they want you to pay taxes and they want you to pay all these fees, and ask them if they're supporting war crimes. I mean, just call these things out. Call these things out and stop going along with these people.
Can I ask you this, Max? Because it's great that you've said that you don't pay taxes. And, of course, listeners, it's lovely that, you know, you basically, there's the old saying, you know, put up or shut up. And you've always put up because you've never asked or suggested that somebody do something that you haven't done yourself. But listeners will be listening to this now and they will be thinking, well, it's brilliant that Max has not paid taxes. But they will be wondering, what, if any, opposition have you faced to not paying taxes?
Well, I haven't faced any. They just haven't come after me. I don't know why. I mean, they send me letters sometimes. I just write on the envelope, I refuse to support organized crime, and send it back to them.
And you don't hear from them again.
I don't even open it.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't even open it. I refuse to support organized crime. I will not support what these people are doing. And I have no problem calling them out. You know, and I'm what am I going to be afraid of? What, death? Death is the only part of life that's inevitable. You know, I'll do something with my life rather than sit here cowering in fear and doing what I'm told for the whole lot because I'm scared of what the transition to the next realm might be. No, rubbish. I'm here to rock the boat and I'm here to call things out. And I think we should. I think everybody should call this out. I mean, it's ridiculous. This system that we're enslaved to is ridiculous. Why on earth do people have to pay to be alive? Why doesn't anybody ever question this? And why doesn't anybody ever call it out? And why doesn't anybody ever realize that the system is a double-edged sword? I mean, even though the legal system's convoluted, and it's fiction. I mean, even when you look at it, there's two types of legal system, isn't there? There's the civil code and there's the criminal code.
And the criminal code, yeah.
In the criminal code, it's against the law to do harm to someone. It's against the law. This is a very, very serious thing, doing harm. The criminal code is really more important than the civil code. Well, how come the government causes harm to people with all their civil law all the time? The civil law is actually in breach of its own criminal law. Yeah, but we don't call it out. We don't call things for what they are. If the government's putting people in a state of harm, then the government's causing crime. The government's doing the wrong thing. And the government is simply a group of people that we employ to manage things for us in a responsible way. And they're not doing it. They're putting us in harm. So we've got to call it out. People just have to start calling it out. And like I said, I recommend everybody go to their employer. If you're working, go to your employer and tell him that you don't want your employer to take taxes out of your wages anymore. You're going to sort that out with government yourself and then write to government and tell them you're withholding taxes until they can explain to you why they're supporting war crimes, because you can prove they are.
Brilliant stuff, mate. Brilliant stuff. Max Egan is on the line. It's 22 minutes to the top of the hour. We've got Max probably for another 10, 15 minutes. It's great that he got up early there in Brisbane. Go to fullcircleproject.net. This is a viable solution. There are many solutions. There are connect to people on fullcircleproject.net. Other people in the same situation as you and I want to do something. Know that everything that's happening is wrong. It's intrinsically wrong. It's inherently wrong. It's evil. It's disgusting. There are hundreds of thousands of people, not around the world, but in your own environment. This is the thing, hundreds of thousands around you who feel just like you. Connect with them on fullcircleproject.net. Wayne was on to say 100% Max, sovereignty, sui generi, we are our own kind. Fuck them, says Wayne. Thanks for that, Wayne. Yeah, I can't argue with that either. Mike was on to say, with electronic voting, massive voting fraud is in progress in all elections, which does kind of throw a spanner in the works, says Mike. Thanks for that. Mike, Karen was on to say, I was thinking to myself, I wonder what governments would do if people decided to opt out of being governed en masse, says Karen. It's a really great point, that is, Karen, as well. There's a few more tweets coming in. Let me get through them as quickly as I can. Scott was on to say, Scott Cornish, just finished work. Damn, what did I miss? says Scott. You missed quite a bit, Scott. The podcast will be online in an hour's time, in under an hour's time as well. Sean was on to say, Richie, TTIP is coming soon. The NHS, the health service here, may end up in the pockets of private corporations. So why can the government use public funds and services to line their own pockets, asked Sean. And Martin Noakes was on to say, hey, doing Martin, I agree with Max. However, I would assume that the tax people haven't gone after him because he owns nothing. That's the question Martin has asked. Is that why they haven't gone after you, Max? Because you don't own anything that they deem worthy of stealing from you to pay your taxes? What do you say to that?
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I don't own land or anything like that. I don't believe you can own land. I mean, you buy land and you pay for it for the rest of your life, and then you're tied to it, so it owns you. You know, you can't own the earth. The earth owns you. So, no, I don't own anything. And, I mean, I just call them out. I just really call them out, and I think people need to call them out, and we need to withdraw support from them. Don't vote. Don't vote for any politician. Don't tell them you're not going to vote until there's a candidate for you to vote for. You're not willing to give your vote to one side of the same corrupt coin. And you'll only vote for a politician which is going to address the corrupt financial system that enslaves us and is going to withdraw support from Israel. If there isn't a politician that's going to say they're going to withdraw support from Israel, then you won't vote because you're not prepared to give your vote to a war criminal. Just say that to them. Just say that to them. And they come around and ask me why I'm not registered to vote, and I say it's because I refuse to support organized crime, and I won't support a criminal organization that euphemistically refers to itself as the federal government. And they just look at me and they walk away. You know, so this is the attitude that I have with these people. Don't take a backward step to these people. Don't think they're anybody of authority. They're not. They're just a pleb. They're just a person in a suit. They're just someone you employ to manage things for you. They're your employee. They're not your boss. They're not your authority. Government does not rule you. Government is your servant, and it's about time we called them out and made them stop killing people and made them stop enslaving our population. You know, if you vote for a politician, you're saying it's okay to steal from me, it's okay to steal from my neighbours, it's okay to go and bomb other countries, it's okay to frack the water table, it's okay to do all these things that you're doing. I'll just pick the lesser of two evils. Well, no, I won't. I won't pick the lesser of two evils at all. I'll call it for what it is, and I'll step away from it. And that's what people need to do. We need to step away from the system. People need to realize that they are sovereign and they can call things out for what they are. You know, and you can, that sort of a peaceful resistance is devastating for these people. Just withdraw your support. I mean, I've been calling out for a day of non-compliance for the last 10 years, but nobody's really picked up on it. Imagine, Mitch, if we all stayed home for a day, if the whole world just refused to participate for one day. Yeah, it would
be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would just change so many things. With one day of non-compliance, it would send such a clear message to those who control this world. But, you know, we've got to start calling this out. And if you get up and you call things out honestly like that, you find you're going to wake your neighbours up as well. They're going to see that what you're saying actually makes sense and that you've just had enough. And it's about time we had enough and show that we've had enough and call things out for what they are. I mean, that's all it will really take to change things, Richie, is for people to really start calling this out.
You know, Max, somebody said to me a few weeks ago, back in August, the last time you were on was in early August, and we finished the show, you and I, and somebody sent me an email, and they asked me, had I ever read that Danny Wallace book? Danny Wallace is a television presenter here in Britain, and he wrote a book a few years ago that became a film which starred, I think Jim Carrey was in the film. It was called Yes Man. And the book was an account of a true story where Wallace decided that for a period of time, Max, he was going to stop saying the word no. He was going to say yes to everything. You know, when his friends called him up and said, do you want to do this? He would say yes. If somebody asked him for a favour, he would say yes. Whatever the question was, no matter how bizarre it was, he would say yes. And I read the book. I remember Caroline bought me the book. We were in Spain when I read it. And I've never been as blown away by a book as I was by that. The film was ridiculous. It was a ludicrous Hollywood production. Didn't get the whole idea at all. Wallace basically said it was life-changing. The amount of positive things that began happening, Max, when he ruled out the word no. Amazing.
Yeah, well, things can change in your life. But now, when you discover your power and you step into it and you simply call things out for what they are and you're brutally honest with what you say and do, your life changes. It really does, Richie. And that's all I've done. I mean, sure, I've got a fair amount of anger in there because I'm sick of seeing my brothers and sisters murdered. I really am. I'm just disgusted at the state of this world. I'm disgusted at what our politicians do. But I'm brutally honest, and I call things out for what they are. And it makes a difference. It really does, you know. And if you do that to people, you know, if you go to these council meetings and you just ask the hard questions, stand up and ask a question to your politician, even if they dismiss it and walk away, you've woken up most of the people in the room just by doing that, just by being brutally honest and calling things for what they are and saying what needs to be said, putting down political correctness. You find you can make a difference if people are simply prepared to do that. You just got to be prepared to speak. I mean, all the difference that I've made in the world is simply because I'm prepared to speak. All the difference you're making is because you're prepared to speak. That's all it really takes, Richie, is for people to
That's all it takes. You're absolutely right, Max. You're absolutely right. Can I just read a few more tweets before we get caught out? I don't like to interrupt you, but there's so many tweets coming in. Some of them are really, really positive as well. So let me just get into them quickly, and then I'll shut up and get out of your way again. Mike was on to say the Georgia Guidestones are maintained by the US government. Does Max know about them? Maybe a comment on that in a second. JP was on to say, can we not, if your politician is a friend of Israel's, that's your local member of parliament, can you stop paying council tax because it is a civil tax after all, asks JP. I'll tell you what we're not going to do, JP. I'm not going to do it, and Max is not going to do it. I'm not going to give you advice on whether or not you pay taxes, because that's wrong. That's a decision you have to come to yourself. That's responsible. It's a responsible thing for us to do is not to, I'm not going to, you know, I always get asked about the license, the TV license thing. Richie, should I pay this? Listen, whatever you do it yourself. It's as simple. It'd be very irresponsible of me now to say you should or shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that. Wayne was on to say one day Max's son will turn to him and say, Dad, you were right, says Wayne. Valkyrie was on to say, no, that's about something else. You have to do your research before you speak out, says Mike. There's loads of tweets all about this sort of stuff. Yeah, ultimately, Max, about paying taxes and stuff like that, I don't feel it's my place to advise people to do anything.
Well, yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I'm telling you what I do. I don't think people should pay taxes because I think that the government's a criminal organisation. I think by paying them, you're supporting organised crime. That's my opinion.
And I agree with that, by the way. I agree with it 100%.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Whether you want to go with that, it's up to you. Yeah. As far as the TV licence and the BBC licence, BBC has been shown to be complicit in war crimes. The BBC covered up the truth on 9/11. There was a man who refused to pay his TV licence and took him to court and won the case.
Yeah, that's right.
So, as far as I'm concerned, the BBC is harvesting millions and millions of pounds from people, and it's performing a terribly dysfunctional service. And not only that, it's telling bold-faced lies to the public. And as far as I'm concerned, I think everyone should refuse to pay their TV license immediately. And not only that, the BBC should be held accountable for war crimes. That's my opinion. So, you know, People can protest in the way they want to, and they can withdraw support for how they want to do it. If you want to stop paying council taxes and all that sort of stuff, go and ask your council member if he supports the state of Israel or if he supports the federal government that is supporting the state of Israel, and then tell him that you can prove, have a copy of the Fourth Geneva Convention with you. Say, look, I can prove that by supporting the state of Israel, this government is funding war crimes, so therefore I'm withdrawing any support from this government until they can show me they're not funding war crimes, because I can show they are. And you can take that approach if you want to, and that's the approach that I take when the government talks to me. If they ring me up about anything or if I talk to them, this is what I tell them. I will not support them while they are supporting war crimes, and I can prove they are, and if they want anything from me, they need to prove to me that they are not. Otherwise, I'm quite happy to take them to court and have them charged for supporting these war crimes. And I will not pay any support. I will not give them anything until they can show me they are not supporting war crimes. Because I have all the proof I need that they are. So it's up to people if they want to take that approach. I do that because I will not take a backward step to these people. I will not pander to criminals. And if you deal with the government, you're pandering to criminals. And I don't give a damn what anybody thinks about that. That's what you are. I mean, sure, there's some honest politicians in there, but the entity itself, government itself, is a criminal organization. It's an organization that enslaves people to debt. It goes and bombs other countries. It's put this whole mess in place. This has all been done by government. So it's about time we withdraw all of our support from these organizations. It really is. Now, you can do it in the way that you see fit in your own community, the way it's going to work for you. But make a stand, folks. Make a stand. I mean, don't wait for somebody else to change the world. It's got to be done by the individual making a difference in their own community. So make a stand. Go and join the Full Circle Project. Find a support group around you. Get involved and make a stand.
Brilliant, Max. Carl was on to say he's in Canberra. Folks, there are legal ways to not paying your taxes. I haven't paid taxes for years, says Carl. Thanks very much for that, Carl. Wayne was back on to say, I just wish people felt their own unique nature and let the fear within go. Let the fear go. Unity would then be so easy and the change would be instant. And a number of you have contacted me on Facebook and on Twitter to say, regarding TTIP and Sean's comments earlier on, don't forget that last weekend, more than 250,000 people marched in Berlin, in Germany, of course, against the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. Change is happening and people are making it happen. Scott came back on to say that the BBT, even the BBC TV license is just paying for them to program the sheep with their bullshit propaganda, says Scott. It's 10 minutes to the top of the hour. The great Max Egan is on with me from Brisbane in Australia. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I'm going to give those couple of minutes to Max. As he said, go to fullcircleproject.net and connect. You will be amazed. It's been a huge success so far, Full Circle Project. You will be amazed at the amount, the numbers of people in your town, in your village, in your city who feel exactly like you do and who want to do something but think to themselves, Jesus, what can I do? I'm on my own. No, you ain't. Look at what happens in Manchester every weekend. People going out, whether it's Victoria Lily, whether it's Wes Hall. There's so many people going out there doing things for homeless people, doing things for people, raising awareness. There's an awful lot of stuff going on. Max, it's never been better than it is right now.
Well, yeah, look, you know, there is a lot going on. There's a lot of people realizing they've got to get involved on the ground and make a difference, and that's what Full Circle's about. You know, it's a leaderless movement. You can find people, you can start some sort of a group, you can start some action, or you can join some action that someone else is involved in. But you can, you know, it's a way of understanding that you're not alone. You're not alone in this. There's millions and millions of us out there that all want change. And if we can gain some common focus, we can bring about some change. And all the problems that we face come from government. They all come from politicians. Now, it's all because of legislation that's put in place that allows all these situations to happen. We run out, we put band-aids on all these little symptoms and all these little issues that the government creates. Well, we need to turn and face the government themselves and call it out for what it is. I mean, I'm sure there's honest people in there. And the system's a double-edged sword. Even though it's all fiction, there's elements within there that we can use against the government because they're in breach of their own criminal code all the time. But we just don't call it out because we think we're controlled by these people. They have authority and they're our leaders and we're kind of cowed by it. You know, and they use soft language as well. You know, the politicians commit a crime, they say, oh, it's a scandal. And you have some sort of a scandal in your life, they call it a crime. You know, no, it isn't a scandal. When a politician does something wrong, it isn't a scandal. It's a crime.
A crime, yes.
You know, they call it a scandal because they label it that way. Oh my God, oh, he did something terrible. It'll just go away and he's got a little dark cloud over him. Now, no, he's a criminal. He just did something wrong. He should be arrested and he should be removed from office and held accountable. You know, but we don't call it out, you know. So we've got to start calling it out. We've got to find the honest people within the government and get them into some sort of a position and maneuver ourselves back to a place where we don't need government, you know. We've got to reduce the size of this organization, get it smaller and smaller back to something that is suitable, something that's just going to be there to manage our rows and pick up the rubbish and do things for us that we need done, but not this horrible controlling mechanism that's enslaving us to debt that it is now. But it's not going to get any better if we don't call it out and we continue to vote for the best of a bad bunch. You know, if there's no suitable candidates, don't vote for anybody. Just tell them, no, there's no candidates there. I'll only vote for a candidate that will write out an affidavit with his election promises. I don't want to hear someone give election promises and then go to office and break them all. If someone says he's going to do this, I want him to put it on paper. I don't want him to sign it as an affidavit. And if he doesn't do it, then I'm going to charge him with perjury or whatever. That's what needs to happen with politicians. If you make an election promise and you're elected under that promise and you break that promise, you need to be charged for that. Because you just gained office under false pretenses, you know. So we need to really look at this. We need to inject a little bit of honesty into it and start calling it out for what it is. And if there isn't a politician that's prepared to be honest and put their promises in writing, don't vote for them, you know. And tell them no, we're withholding our vote because we haven't seen any honest people. And if you're telling me I've got to vote for someone who's dishonest, well, hang on, who put that legislation in place? Because that's an abuse of office in itself. So let's go up the food chain and find out who's been abusing their positions of power by putting all these ridiculous guidelines in place, which are all detrimental for society and all causing harm against society and are therefore all in breach of the government's own criminal code. Let's find out who's doing all this, shall we? And let's have them charged for it, and let's put some honesty and some transparency back into this system, you know? But if we don't call it out, it's not going to happen, Richie. So, you know, we've got to start calling it out.
Max, it's always brilliant to have you on the program, mate. It really means that. Max's website is thecrowhouse.com. Go to thecrowhouse.com and go to thefullcircleproject.net. Thanks, mate, for getting up out of bed, especially early, to talk to us there in Brisbane. I sincerely appreciate it. I really do. Continued success to you and to everybody working with you in your efforts to bring about major changes in our world. I'm proud to know you, and thanks for coming on the program again.
My pleasure, Richie. Always a pleasure, bro.
Thanks, Max. Bye for now. Max Egan on the line to us there from Brisbane, Australia.